Of course, the housing crisis is back in the news. We talk of cuckoo funds, the squeezed middle and the despair that younger people are feeling that they might never be able to get on the property ladder. And we had that report from the ESRI yesterday saying that people bought in the 80s, only 30% of them are homeowners in their 30s, as opposed to people like myself born in the 60s. And there was more than 60% of us who had houses when we were in our 30s. What needs to be done to fix the problem? Well, Hugh Brennan first spoke to us in 2018. He's the CEO of O'Coolan Co-Housing Alliance. And at the time, he was talking to us about a project out in Poppentry for affordable housing. And we decided we'd get Hugh back in to find out about how the projects are going and to hear his thoughts and opinions on how to solve our housing crisis. How are you doing, Hugh?
Doing very well, Ray, and thanks very much for the invite.
Good to see you. You're looking healthy.
Thank you. Yeah, getting through the old
Are you pandemic. Out and about a lot, are you?
Out and about a bit, I am. Yeah, yeah. I'm lucky. We live in Bray, and I can walk the when it was 5K, I could walk 5K over to Powerscourt and back.
Ah, right.
Lovely walk. Yeah. Get out and about. Yeah.
You look healthy and sun-kissed.
Thank you.
Now, let's remind people first about O'Coolan.
Yeah.
They're an approved housing body.
That's right, yeah. Okay. And an approved housing body is a status that you get from the Department of Housing. And most approved housing bodies actually own and manage social housing on behalf of local authorities. We were slightly different when we set up. We were trying to target a different market, if you like. So we were trying to target the people who were earning too much to qualify for social housing, but still couldn't afford to buy or rent affordably in Ireland. And that's the problem. It's an affordability issue.
The squeezed middle, exactly.
Yes, yeah. We're also a registered charity, and so we're not...
Because you have to be.
Because we have to be, exactly. Okay. And we're a CLG, a company limited by guarantees. So that's the kind of the technical stuff. But really, we're a social enterprise as well. We didn't set out to be a social enterprise, but others told us we are a social enterprise.
Yes.
And we got a couple of awards from Social Enterprise Entrepreneurs Ireland and others for being a social enterprise. So that's really what it is. It is a social enterprise where we try to provide affordable housing in sustainable communities all around the country.
Now, just you to remind us about yourself. Were you originally a developer? Or a builder?
Not a developer, no. I was in construction all my life. But in contracting, absolutely. Yeah,
right. Yeah. So you're a builder?
I was a builder. I worked for a very well-known builder down your part of the country, a guy called Fintan Phelan for years in Carlow. So
And why did you make the change?
Well, because... Okay, so in 2003, I heard Niall Mellon on the radio talking about his scheme out in South Africa, and Niall is a very charismatic guy, and I was attracted by that, and I went out and I worked there just as a volunteer for, you know, 3 seasons, and then I got the chance to work for him full time, and I did that, and then I was asked by another entrepreneur and philanthropist, Leslie Buckley, to see would I do something similar in Haiti, and so I took on that challenge as well. And so that took from, like, say, 2003 until 2013, like a long stretch.
And then I suppose you thought to yourself, and this is simplifying, that charity begins at home.
Well, exactly. And yeah. And I came back home, and I have 4 children all looking for housing, well educated. And, you know, to be honest, they're struggling. Now, my eldest son, they have their own apartment now, which is great. But they were struggling, you know, and I felt that is wrong. In Ireland, in the Ireland that I grew up in, that people should be able to either to buy or to rent affordably, but that they're not put to the pin of their collar to do that.
I'm just doing a quick recap on what you did in Poppentry.
Yeah.
So you got the land from Dublin City Council.
Yes.
So the sites were €1,000 each as opposed to 30,000.
That's right.
They waived the development fees, which were amounted to what?
Around 8,000 per house. Yeah.
8,000. Okay. Yeah. And you were able to sell then a 3-bedroom house for 200,000 3 years ago.
Well, it was actually 177 was the cheapest or the dearest 3-bedroom house at the time in Poppentry. Yeah,
in Poppentry.
They're all done, thanks be to God.
They're all done, and people are in them.
People are in them. Yeah. And happy, but like any scheme, I was saying to Niamh earlier on, relatively happy because there are little bits and pieces that still need to be done. I want to be
a curb, you know, or something like that.
Exactly, in a bit of a wall or some snags in the housing.
Yes.
But that will all be done. We actually have a very good contractor, a guy from up the country beyond Dundalk called O'Hanlon and Farrell, and they've been working with us now for the last 5 years, and they will be back to make sure that everything is hunky-dory.
Yeah. And I remember when you were on before, and I see the world sometimes quite simplistically, right, this is genius. Why can't we roll it out to all over the country? Yeah. And you were saying that there were demands to do that at the time. So yeah. How many other projects have you done?
OK, so we moved into our second one in Ballymun with Dublin City Council. It's a place called Ilona Cranoiga or Cranogue Islands, 37 there. So there's 13 left to be finished there. The rest of them are done. Then we have a smaller scheme just literally across the road from that for another 10. We have 51 up in Dunemer in Lusk, which the minister has been talking about recently, which is in his constituency.
Yeah,
that's a slightly different scheme. Okay, but I can come back to that. Then we have one in Knocknaheeny in Cork with Cork City Council. That'll be the same model as Poppentry. We have one in Ardmore in Waterford with Waterford County Council. That's for 32 houses. A mix of social and affordable. And then we've a lovely scheme down with a group called Nimble Spaces in Callan in County Kilkenny. And 16 of those are for people with intellectual disabilities. They'll actually be sold to TUA, another approved housing body, who specialise in owning and managing property. Okay. And that's where we are.
And in all these schemes, you've got the property at a drastically reduced rate from the county councils.
In most of them, okay. So the difference is Dunemer. Now, Dunemer was put out as an expression of interest to not just to approved housing bodies, but to builders as well, okay. So you had to tender for that. So we did. Now, the way that works is that we do pay for the site, but there is what they call a site services fund there in place as well to help us, you know, as a subsidy, if you like.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that really balances out the cost of the site. So effectively, we get the site for nothing.
OK, people know you now and they know what you do. So let's try and cover things that have happened over the last week.
Yeah.
So it all started when the Minister for Housing, Darragh O'Brien, came out and laid out his stall for how he's going to solve the housing crisis.
Yeah.
And on the back of that then, somebody said that these REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts had bought up all the houses in a Maynooth development.
Yeah.
And that became the story.
That became the story, yeah.
Now, we'll talk a bit about that.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit of a distraction, is it?
Well, it is a distraction, but to be honest with you, it's not bad to get housing back on the front
page. Yeah, no, I know,
and
I know.
That's what we need.
Yeah, I know. I know, but it's a much bigger problem, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just the REITs.
No. Not at all.
No.
It's really all about affordability, and that's what it is about. And
so, I was saying before you come on that 450,000 that he said for an affordable house in Dublin. Versus what you were now, what are you going to be selling houses at now?
Okay, so we're currently 219 for a three bed, and in the next scheme, well, in Dunemer, a three bed will be 250.
Okay,
yeah,
versus 450.
Not really. I think there was a little bit of confusion about that. Essentially, I think what the minister was saying there was that this is the cap. So if he's introducing his shared equity scheme, okay, the private shared equity scheme, that somebody can go and buy a house that's worth 450,000 max. I think this is what he was saying. Okay,
yeah, so and 150 then, would be some. The council could take 150
exactly,
grand out of that. Yeah,
exactly,
the shared equity.
Exactly.
Yes,
but when you think about this, and the minister knows that I don't fully agree with this particular part of the bill.
Yeah.
When you think about that, essentially what you're doing there is you are validating the price that the developer is charging for the house, and you're actually, where does that money go to?
Yeah.
Right, it comes from the state. Okay. But it goes to the developer to help pay for the house, okay? And the purchaser pays it back eventually. Now, in the bill, it says that you won't be pursued during your lifetime for that portion of it, and that's grand. So if you hold on to your house, and when you die, it'll be all remedied in your estate. But if you do sell in the meantime, it is paid back.
Well, let's get more simplistic here then.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, at the time, you met Owen Murphy, who was then the Minister for Housing. And I think on his own admission, the whole housing crisis broke him.
Yeah, I
He's
think
leaving
so,
politics.
Yeah.
And now Darragh O'Brien is in his position.
Yeah.
Right. So why can't they do what you do? Why can't the government do what you do all over the country?
Yeah, well, they can. This is the thing, you see.
Yeah,
well,
why don't they?
Well, that's a more difficult question, okay? And and there may be politics mixed up in it, and I don't want to, you know, get into that. But I mean, like, they can do it. Okay, there are local authorities, there are state bodies who own land all around the country. Okay, yes. We now have a land development agency, and I think that could work very well, where the land development agency will get land from these other bodies. But there's a little piece in the bill that says they have to pay market value for the land. Now that just doesn't make sense to me. Okay, now I know the state body.
So in acquiring land for the state, they have to pay the market value. Is that what you're saying?
They have to. Yeah. So a state body.
Yeah.
Buying from a state body.
Oh, have to pay the market value.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
Not to me.
That's Peter to play Paul.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why it doesn't make sense to me. It's because of the way we look at land and the way we look at property is that it's a commodity to be sold to the highest bidder, and that for me is wrong.
No,
land is a resource. It's a finite resource, for Pete's sake. It's a resource, and that's the way it needs to be looked at, to be used in the best interest of everybody, whether that's whether you're a farm, where you're farming, or you're building roads or schools or houses.
Okay, now you gave me numbers there, and you're talking about maybe over 100, 150 houses that you'll be building, right? And they're saying we need between 35,000 and 40,000 houses a year for the next 10 years.
Yes.
So you're only scratching at the surface.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Yeah. A drop in the ocean.
Yes. So you would need, you know, multiples of your projects all over the country.
It needs to be scaled up.
Yes. And you said that to me 3 years ago.
Yes.
But it hasn't been. Are there any other groups similar to O'Coolan?
Yes, there are. Okay. So like there are actually a couple of hundred approved housing bodies.
Yes, I know.
The
there's
country.
520.
Is there? Okay.
In total.
I wasn't sure.
Yes, yeah.
But a lot of them are involved in, say, for argument's sake.
So there'd be threshold and some, they could be, yes.
Yeah, well the big ones, Tua, Respond, Clwyd, Circle. Okay. They're the big ones. Between them, they own and manage thousands of houses, and they do great work. And
who do they? Just explain for me and for our listeners what they do.
Yeah.
So are they fulfilling the role that county councils used to fulfill years ago?
They are, essentially. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they own and manage social housing on behalf of local authorities.
Okay.
Okay? So but they do a very good job.
Local authorities have outsourced that.
They have, essentially, yeah.
And as a result of outsourcing that, they've lost the expertise to do it themselves.
I would say that's part of it. Yes, I would agree with you. I'd say that. And certainly on the building side of it, I think they've lost the expertise because, you know, the local authorities did a lot of building in the past.
Okay.
And they don't seem to have that capacity anymore. You know?
Right, okay. So where do the real estate investment trusts come in?
Okay, so I honestly don't think that they're necessary. Okay, so where I would accept that there is a place for them is if you are a private developer, you have a plot of land, you are building, say, a block of apartments, a real estate investment trust or one of the other institutional funds, a pension fund, comes in and says, "We'd like to buy that off you, and we will get our return on it over 40 years."
Yes,
and the developer would probably be a fool to turn them down. So that's big private developer.
So they're buying them to rent back.
Exactly.
So
and
two
pushing
things
up
are happening.
The rents.
Exactly. I'm pushing up the house prices.
And pushing up the house prices and pushing up the rents.
If you're a first-time buyer
and
you were in Maynooth and you had your eye on one of those houses, right? So this REIT comes in and they buy up everything.
Yeah.
So that means you don't have a house to buy.
Exactly.
And they can rent it to you. So they're in control now of the rent.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Which is far too much control. And then on top of that, they don't pay tax on anything.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how much tax they pay.
I have it here in front of me.
Yeah.
So they don't pay tax on the rent. And if they sell off the houses in a few years' time, they don't pay capital gains tax either.
So therefore, I say that there may be a place for some of these institutional funds buying property off big developers, but they should not get 1 cent, I believe, in tax relief. It shouldn't cost the individual one penny. They're in the market. Let them fight in the market, okay. Without getting a cent from us.
Okay. What was the genesis of them?
The genesis of them was, now, you know, you really need to get into talk to politicians, but back in 2011, there was nothing happening. Now, I was away, okay? So there was nothing happening in the construction industry, okay? And the vast majority of
the crash
exactly. Yes, yes. So and the vast majority of lettings were what they call mom and pop landlords.
Yes, yes.
And what they said was, look, we need to get this professionalised, if you like. We need to bring in these institutions who will buy up or who will build and own, you know, thousands of apartments. Yes. And rent them out. And they brought them in. Okay. Yes. And they gave them all of these tax incentives. But the thing that wasn't agreed was that it would be an affordable rent. Because it's not an affordable rent.
No. And it, at the time, it was a shot in the arm for the construction industry.
It was, yeah.
That the country needed.
The country needed it, yeah. And absolutely. Yeah. And it brought a number of the bigger players back, okay? But it didn't bring the small to medium players back. And that's what our model can do. Yeah. What we want are the small to medium builders building again.
You've met Dara O'Brien.
I have a couple of times, yeah. Dara's fine, like, you know, and, you know.
What does fine mean?
Well, his heart is in the right place, I think, you know.
But there's been three ministers for housing since 2016.
Yeah.
And each of them have come up with this solve-all plan, haven't they?
Yeah.
Rebuild Ireland with Simon Coveney's and then Owen Murphy.
Again, it's politics. People all around the place are saying exactly what you're saying to us. You know, that sounds like a great idea. Why can't it be replicated? It can be replicated. And in fairness to, like, the Dublin City Council, for example, you know, they're working with us
but it's minute.
It is minute, yeah.
Compared to the scale of the problem.
Yeah, it could be huge. And our other colleagues in the AHB sector have the capacity, I believe, to get into this space. Yeah. Now, where they really want to get into is cost rental, and I think that's a great spot for them. And there could be thousands of cost rental units built over the next few years by the approved housing bodies.
So the cost rental ensures that the rent won't go up over time.
Yes.
So it's like higher purchase of a TV back in the day, is it?
Well, it is, but if interest rates go up, the rent is based on the cost of building the unit, okay? And therefore, it's always at an affordable rate. And you have to decide then, at the start, what's affordable. And for us, affordable is that you don't pay any more than 33% of your net income, your take-home pay, on your housing needs. And your housing needs is, if you're renting, it's your rent and your utilities. Or if you're buying, it's your mortgage, your utilities, and your upkeep of your house. Yeah. So that can't be any more than 33%. And that works with cost rental.
I was watching 2014, Real in the Years, there, and that's 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Housing, you know, Peter McVerry featured, there was a housing crisis then. It's not going away. In fact, it's getting worse. And now what we're seeing is, and people are realising that coming down the tracks, if people are renting, And then it looks like people are going to be retiring and still paying huge rents. What's going to happen then?
Yeah, no, that is a big problem. Like that is a huge problem.
And we still don't have security
of tenure.
Of tenure.
No.
You know, I remember a mate of mine was renting 25 years ago and we had this conversation.
Yeah.
And it's always brought up about other countries and how they work and how it works and people choose renting as a lifestyle choice.
Yeah. So the cost rental, you will have security of tenure.
Okay.
And in fact, it'll be for intergenerational. So for argument's sake, you're a couple with two kids and, you know, something happens to the couple, the kids can stay on. So that kind of thing.
Yes.
And that's ad infinitum, like, you know, you stay there as long as you want it, you know.
A long time coming.
It is coming. Like, it's not all doom and gloom. And I know, like, so many people say that, you know, I can never see myself getting a house, and 30 and 35 year olds, you know, saving, I can never get a house. You can, okay? We need to get the politicians going.
But they're listening to you here, and they're hearing price of 250,000, which is probably within their grasp.
Yes, it is, yeah.
But they look around then, particularly in Dublin.
I know.
You'll get it outside the city, but particularly in Dublin, they know there aren't many houses for that price.
No, only ours, unfortunately,
So we said you were coming on. Just, I don't know if these are suitable. Why are first-time buyers penalised for buying second-hand houses? My son doesn't want a new house in a new estate, but is losing out if he buys an old house. Surely we should encourage this as well.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't object to that. But what we really need to do, is, as well as keeping the prices down, we need to get supply going. And that's why, you know, it's usually for new houses, because you want to get as many new houses built as you can.
Do you know, in other areas of human life, that there is this cross-disciplinary cooperation now? You know, like, you see engineers cooperating with medical people to, you know.
Yes, yeah.
And we saw on a global scale how people cooperated to develop the vaccines in a hurry. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think that where they have something on a sort of a microscopic level nearly.
Yes.
Not to undermine what you're doing.
No, you're right.
That's working.
Yeah.
It beggars belief why it isn't been, expanded.
Yeah. I think slowly but surely it is getting out there because, as I say, we have all these other schemes around the country and they're doing it in interesting ways, like other county councils. Again, they're putting these out and they're stuck by procurement rules as well. Like, you wouldn't believe the complexities behind all of this, Like, Dublin City Council, in fairness to them, can get around kind of things.
But the government are in charge.
They are in charge.
They can change things. I hate that rubbish, We're confined by restrictions in the law, etc. But you're in charge.
No, you're absolutely right.
Do something about it. It's a crisis.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. I
don't know if I am, but anyway. I just feel that's a horrific statistic, isn't it? That people born in the 80s, only 30% now are homeowners in their 30s.
Yes, yeah. And
if we were in a country where there was security in renting, you wouldn't mind, but there isn't.
No, there isn't. No, and the fact that there is land available, not an unending supply, but there is
land.
But
the state have a lot of land.
The state between the local authorities, state bodies, NAMA, everything, exactly. Yes. There is enough land for the next 10 years to.
How long does it take from sort of conception, if you like, to somebody moving in?
Yeah, okay.
To build a house.
So we say 2 years, okay?
Right, okay.
So we look at a year for all of that red tape stuff, where you're getting the land transferred over and all of that and tendering and all of that and planning and all of that, okay? And then you start, okay? So then your first person is in maybe another year after that. So you can you can say 2 years.
Do you think, because you've been, looking around and analysing, is the housing crisis a victim of the short-sightedness of politics in that it's a five-year cycle and, people don't look at it for the long game?
That is certainly part of it, okay?
Yes.
But you do have to go back to where governments, for whatever reason, decided to depend on the market to solve social and affordable housing. And that, for me, is the big problem, because that is never going to work, at least not in Ireland. I was saying to Niamh, there's a very interesting company in Malmo in Sweden, and people can check these out. It's spelled BOKLOK. It's pronounced Buklok, okay? They're an amalgamation of Skanska, one of the biggest builders in the world, and IKEA.
Okay.
Everybody knows IKEA.
Yeah.
They deliver apartments in Malmo, and their target market is a single teacher with a child.
Okay.
So they have to be able to build and rent or sell to that teacher.
And their salary. Yeah.
Yes. And that company is the most profitable in their whole business. So
they're affordable. They're providing affordable accommodation.
Yes.
And they're the most profitable.
Yes. So look, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
That tells you that it can be done. It tells you that if our developers just reduce their expectations on what they need to get out of a job, you don't need to make a killing on every job, that this market goes on forever.
Yeah.
There is no end to the demand for affordable housing.
No. Yes. As you were saying last time, I don't know if it's changed, but O'Coolan, you have a sort of 5% margins, and that's keep you safe. It's like a contingency. And you were a bit coy about sharing with us what other developers, in the real world would take.
Yeah.
You said somewhere between 15 and 20%.
But you never know, because you never know what they've paid for their land. So you never know what their what the markup is. So I don't know that. Sorry.
Let's see what they're saying here. My son and fiance are two permanent primary school teachers. The chances of us getting a house are next to nothing at the moment. Where are they going with 450,000? We won't even reach that. Well, I suppose it's 300,000 really, because you're eligible for.
So if that scheme comes in. But
yes.
I just brought in just a couple of figures for you here now. So with the Rebuilding Ireland loan, for example, okay, somebody can get a 320,000 euro house on a salary of a gross salary of 57,000. Okay, so if those two teachers and they would be earning, I would say, around 60,000, okay, they would be able to get a house using the Rebuilding Ireland loan. So a lot of people don't know about the Rebuilding Ireland loan, and they need to look at it, okay?
Right.
And that will be spread over 30 years, okay? And they would be paying a mortgage of around 1,200 euros a month on that, and that would represent approximately 30% of their net income. Okay, right. So it's just affordable.
And that 1,200 mortgage repayment is a good bit less than the average rent in Dublin at the moment.
If that couple were trying to rent a 2-bedroom apartment in Dublin at the moment, they'd probably be paying 2,000. And that's the problem.
That's messed up, isn't it?
They won't be able to save their deposit.
No.
But then don't forget, there is the Help to Buy scheme, and a lot of people have spoken against the Help to Buy scheme because they say that it is pushing up the price of property, and I get that. But for our members, it has been hugely beneficial. So for people who can't raise the deposit, it is there. So I would just say to people to check out the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan, check out the Help to Buy, especially that couple now, those two teachers, and don't look at 450, and I know they can't come to us at the moment because I can't.
No, you can't. Don't put them, anything.
But I could if the land was available.
What about Minister for Housing? Would you ever do that job?
Would I do it?
But there was talk.
I'd have to be elected first.
There was talk because they can bring people in, can't they? There was talk at one stage there of just getting experts into the. There's a facility to do that.
Yeah.
In our constitution, whatever.
Yeah, if you're a senator, I think.
If you're a senator, but they can, they can appoint you a senator and then you can come in as a sort of an expert.
They did it with Jim Doolittle.
While we're on the constitution, what about the right to housing?
Yeah, so we do need to have a right to housing. Okay, so
but politicians are unlikely to press for that.
Okay, the way I look at it is this. From my experience abroad and from my experience here, and everybody I think would agree that everybody needs a home. I don't think there's anybody in the world who would disagree with that. Everybody needs a home, okay? If you just change that very slightly and you say everyone deserves a home, people then start querying that. Like, but how...
Oh, I see, yes.
How is that going to affect me?
Yeah.
Landowners are saying, well, is there going to be a compulsory purchase or are they going to take my land? Yeah. And it gets into an issue about the Constitution. We have a problem with that article, I believe, in the Constitution about property rights. Now, it does clearly say in there that it is regulated, if you like, by the common good. OK, so it can't trump the common good. OK. But that's never brought out.
It's vague enough anyway.
So we do need to have a right to adequate housing in the Constitution.
Yes.
And people just need to accept that not only does everybody need a home, everyone deserves.
But how do we drive that? Because ultimately politicians have to decide that.
They do.
If there's going to be a change.
Yeah, they do.
And that would put them under enormous pressure to deliver.
Yeah. I can tell you, actually one of the difficulties is that when you're looking for a house, okay, you agree that everyone deserves a home. When you have your house, you're now a property owner and you're start thinking with a different cap. But the young people who do need housing, they do actually need to get a little bit more active. They're very passive. One of the things that bothers me about it is that people think that when they can't get a home or they can't afford a home, that it's their fault. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's a kind of a sense of shame about it. You know that you're not catering, you're not looking after your family. It's not your fault.
No,
it's the system, and unfortunately, it's the way it's almost been rigged. There are solutions out there. You know, talk to your politicians and tell them to support Anno Coolin model. It doesn't have to be us, you know, it can be anybody else, but to support that, the land is available, the mechanisms are there, they can do it, and they need
there's a prototype and it works.
Yes.
It needs to be rolled out for everybody.
Yes.
Hugh, thank you so much.
No, thank you. It was great.
Yeah. In my world, you'll be immediately appointed the Minister for Housing.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.